Welcome to Just a Minute. Hello, it's Sue Perkins here, and as the minute waltz fades away, it's a joy to welcome you to Just a Minute. Now time to introduce you to the four incredibly talented and delightful people who are playing tonight's game. They are Zoe Lyon, Stephen Mangan, Paul Merton and Lucy Porter. Please whoop and cheer for all four of them. In time-honoured fashion, I'm going to ask them to speak for 1 minute without hesitating, repeating or deviating. Best of luck, chaps, we're going in. And Zoe, we're going to start with you. Now, your subject is give it 110%. Oh, that's given me hives just saying that. Can you give your all and speak for 60 seconds without hesitating, repeating or deviating on give it 110% starting now?
I have never given it 110%. Why would you? I've found out in life you can pretty much get away with giving it 65 to 70% most of the time. When you give 110%, 10% of that is absolutely wasted because we all know that 100% is the maximum you can actually expire. When you see somebody attempting to give 110%, be the best person they can possibly be, it just makes my toenails curl.
Stephen, are you a qualified chiropodist?
Just, it's all quite bitter, isn't it?
Welcome to the game.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I withdraw my
challenge. Welcome to my life, Stephen.
Lucy, yeah. You challenged.
I think there is a repetition of be the best person you can possibly be.
Oh, that is harsh, but good.
It is harsh.
Two B's.
Or not two B's. OK, well, normally I just say one challenge is enough, but you know what? I start as I mean to go on. I'm giving this show 110%. I'm saying, Stephen, it was an incorrect challenge, but I enjoyed it nonetheless. Lucy, it was a picky one, but Zoe's a very seasoned player. She can take it. So I'm going to give you the subject. 29 seconds remaining. Give it 110% starting now.
The kind of people who give it 110% are the folks who go the extra mile, which I, again, think is a waste of everybody's effort, because if you have proceeded that distance of further than a kilometre, then everybody who is your rival has also achieved that span of length. So
I was really enjoying that. Paul.
It was a hesitation.
Though. Yes. That span of length.
Yes. We lived it.
We did. Yeah, we did. We I had a birthday in the middle of it. Paul, that's the correct challenge. 8 seconds remaining. What can you tell us about give it 110% starting now?
It's one of the cliches that football commentators often use. They say things like, he's got that in his locker, which means he's capable of doing what he's just done. And give it 110...
Paul, speaking as the whistle went, which means he gained the point. And Stephen, we are with you now. And you've got a minute to tell us all about Behind My Back. What can you tell me about that subject? Starting now.
The phrase behind my back reminds me of that old joke. I hate people talking behind my back. They disgust me. And as I let the laughter and applause die down from the hilarity ensuing from that gag, I will tell you that the worst time anyone ever talked behind my back was in a supermarket. And I heard them say, isn't that the guy who's on television? And the other person said, yes, I don't like him. I assume they were talking about me, as I was the only other person in the supermarket at the time.
Zoe.
There were two supermarkets.
There were.
Yes. Yeah. Double trouble.
Yeah.
No,
and I'm really sorry about what I said in the supermarket, Stephen.
I've got a worse example than that. I heard somebody say behind my back once, isn't that Paul Merton? And the other bloke said, no, he's dead. I mean, what a way to find out.
Zoe, maybe you can atone for your supermarket behaviour in the 25 seconds remaining to you on the subject of behind my back, starting now.
I don't know what's behind my back. I've never been there. I assume there is a back behind there somewhere. I have to use a mirror to have a look at it. I don't care what people say behind my back. I'd rather hear it to my face. I can take it. I am a grown-up and an adult, and I like to give it 110% most of the time. So as such, I feel I have the desired qualities to have whatever said to me to my front bit or my rear end.
Great. Well, if you've enjoyed Zoe's performance, remember to tell her to her front bit later. Oh, good. You were speaking as the whistle went.
Miraculously.
Hopefully you heard the whistle in your side bit. one of the two available side bits that have auditory function. You get the point for that. And Paul, we are with you now. The subject is, I wish I didn't know that about you. Can you speak for a minute on, I wish I didn't know that about you? Starting now.
I'm trying hard to think what I know about people that I wish I didn't know. I suppose I'll have to make something up. Oh, yes, I do know that Stephen Mangan is actually a wonderful man.
Who buzzed? We were letting that sink in.
Zoe, do you have a personal reason to challenge that?
Well, it was quite a long gap there, wasn't it? I was right behind the sentiment.
I don't think that at all.
You know, it was a nice sentiment, but there was a sort of a large space.
Absolutely.
Big gap.
Yeah. Has everyone been drinking?
Yes.
It's emotionally...
Since 1989. Yeah.
She's completely off her front bit.
Yeah.
So, we've established that Stephen is a wonderful man.
He's a wonderful man.
He's a wonderful man. But it's a correct challenge, Zoe, and you get the subject, which is, I wish I didn't know that about you. What can you tell us on that subject? 47 seconds, starting now.
I wish I didn't know that about you is a beautiful Scandinavian song sung by a band that's not well known in this country. They actually sing it in English, which is unusual for that particular region. But there you go. You find something out every day. I said to a friend recently, I wish I didn't know that about you, after they told me that they enjoy biting their own toenails. I couldn't get the image out of my head, and yet I still felt slightly jealous at their mobility. I wouldn't be able to do that to myself, I thought. I'd have to sort of lubricate myself up in the middle.
Wow.
If I was given the subject now, I could simply say, I wish I didn't know that about you.
Tell you, when you go to a supermarket, what now people will be saying behind your back is, she's got a front bit, a back bit, and a lubricated middle. Lucy, thank goodness for your interruption, which couldn't have come at a better time in order to save the BBC. What was your challenge?
It was the repetition of myself.
Yes.
The technical challenge.
When I said lubricate, I meant like WD-40.
Yeah. The stuff that gets stains out of coffee tables. Yeah.
Lucy, you've got 15 seconds. I wish I didn't know that about you, starting now.
I've never beaten my own toenails, but I have chomped on Zoe's, which are on her lower bit. Very tasty they were too. I wish I didn't know that they tasted of raspberry, but that is apparently what the case is. Yes.
Have I lowered the tone?
No, okay. You haven't lowered the tone. Okay. You've just given too much information.
Okay.
I'm lowering the tone.
Opened a portal.
All right, you were speaking as the whistle went, Lucy. You've got the point. And you get the next subject, which is empty nest syndrome. What can you tell us about that? 60 seconds on empty nest syndrome, please. Your time starts now.
Empty nest syndrome was a historical phenomenon when children could afford to leave home. But now I have full nest syndrome where we're crammed in. I look forward to empty nest syndrome, although I'm sure after about 15 minutes I'll be wandering into my children's bedrooms weeping. Empty nest syndrome usually accompanies people going to university. My mum and dad redecorated my room within a week of me moving out of the house, and my mother said she had never been happier in her days. It hasn't scarred me at all. That's why I have to chew other people's toenails to get some sense of happiness or closure. Empty nest syndrome could also refer to having a thatch of hair, like a nest under which is empty, such as... got away with that by talking about chewing toenails. God knows what that was.
I was interested in the hair factory that was about to come, but the whistle went and interrupted that thought. It means you get a point for speaking for 60 seconds and a point for finishing it as the whistle went. So, at the end of that round, let's have a look at some scores. We've got Stephen in fourth place. In third, we've got Paul. We've got Zoe in second place. And striding out front, we've got Lucy. Zoe, we return to you. And the subject is middle child behaviour. I'm wondering if you could speak without hesitating, deviating, repeating, or talking about your bodily parts. Middle child behaviour. Your time starts now.
The best way to avoid having to endure middle child behaviour is to have an even number of children, therefore avoiding having a middle child.
Stephen.
I'm sorry. I'm just sorry. That's all I am. Sorry.
It's okay.
That's okay.
Classic middle child behaviour, being sorry.
Yeah.
Was it avoid and avoiding?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, thanks for pointing it out.
It's okay. I'm sorry.
I could have, you know, exuded an air of mystery about why I'd pressed. People would be wondering for the rest of their life, why did he ring that? We'll never know. But yeah, avoid and avoiding.
But I thought if I didn't say anything, people might just be concerned for your mental well-being.
I think that horse has bolted, frankly.
You're absolutely right. But I felt I needed to, I don't know, to intercede in that moment. You're right, possibly it was wrong, but ultimately it's an incorrect challenge. And Zoe, you keep it. 52 seconds. Middle child behaviour starting now.
Classic middle child behaviour is being strongly independent when the other kids are attaching themselves to mum and dad, clinging onto the apron strings, scared to leave home. The middle child has bought a boat and wrapped it off to Norway, where they are singing songs sung by the Scandinavian folk heroes of their time. They are branching out across the planet, doing incredible things. Middle child behaviour can also require a little bit of attention sometimes because they are a restless child, somebody who is not content with sitting in their room playing Lego or indeed biting their own toenails. They will be...
It was so good. Paul.
Right, there was a hesitation.
There was indeed a hesitation. Correct challenge. You've got 12 seconds on middle child behaviour, starting now.
Of the four Marx brothers, Groucho was the middle child, and he was the most talkative of them all. Not difficult when you compare him to Harpo, who, of course, famously never spoke in any of their films or on stage. Chico was the piano player, and he was the eldest, but...
Speaking as the whistle went, well done, Paul. You get the point. And Stephen, we are with you now. Being a football fan is your subject. I believe you're a Tottenham fan.
Yeah.
You've got 60 seconds on being a football fan, starting now.
Being a football fan of the greatest team in the world, Tottenham Hotspurs, is one long summer's day. My life is easy and tranquil, and I hop from one triumph to the next with my glorious club. The team is also...
Lucy.
Oh, there was a bit of hesitation, and also Tottenham are not the best team in the world.
If there was only some way of measuring how good a team was.
Yeah.
Like where they would come in a league or something. Over the course of a season. Outside a lottery of cup games.
I mean, it says something about Tottenham that they win a trophy for the first time in years and then they just sack their manager.
The bitterness is overwhelming in this room. I can't be doing with it.
Lucy, a correct challenge. There was a slight hesitation. There was a very slight hesitation. And normally I'd give Stephen the benefit of the doubt, but he's talking about Tottenham, so I find I can't. So you've got 42 seconds, Lucy. Your time starts now.
Being a football fan does not appeal to me. If I wanted to support a load of millionaires who have no idea I exist, I might start following the World Economic Forum or maybe the FTSE 500. My ex-boyfriend was a Manchester United fan, so I went to see a lot of City matches just to upset him. And it did do the trick. Some teams wear blue, some...
Stephen.
Two sums.
Yeah,
yeah,
correct.
Oh, my knowledge of football was about to run out there. I had red and blue.
So, 13 seconds. Correct challenge, Stephen. You get the subject to remind you, being a football fan, starting now.
True story. I took both my eldest sons to White Hart Lane when they were 8 days old and took photographs outside the ground with them draped in the lily white flag so that they...
Congratulations, speaking as the whistle went, you get that point. And we are with you now, Paul. Mm. I like this. Yeah, the subject we've got for you is the Pope Catholic? You've got 60 seconds on that subject. Is the Pope Catholic? And your time starts now.
Yes.
Lucy.
I mean, he has given the definitive answer.
It is a definitive answer.
It's hard to challenge that, really.
I mean, I understand why he paused, but I feel that it was a hesitation. And I mean, I think there's room for doubt. Let's see. I've got 57 seconds to find out, haven't I?
Yes. I think you're right. I think it was a definite answer. We can't necessarily argue against that, otherwise that would be deviation. But the point is yours and the subject is yours. 57 seconds remaining. Is the Pope Catholic? Your time starts now.
Is the Pope Catholic? Yes. Because...
She's doing my material.
We'll call that a tribute act.
Okay, it's a tribute. It's a tribute. No, I'm pleased with that.
It's the sincerest form of flattery. So I enjoyed that. But the subject is still yours, Lucy. 53 seconds, and we're still none the wiser as to why the Pope is a Catholic or anything more other than he just is Catholic. So your time starts now.
The Pope is always Catholic, which seems a lack of diversity, really. I think if they got an atheist Pope, he'd have more time for doing admin because he wouldn't be tied up with masses and wearing a big hat and stuff. The Pope is Catholic, as was my dad. That's all they really have.
Your dad was the Pope? You kept that quiet.
I enjoyed that, Paul. I'm going to give you a point for that. And we're back with you, Lucy, because I think you need to clear quite a lot up. There's a major ecclesiastical storm brewing under you right now. Your time starts now.
Is the Pope Catholic is often asked alongside questions such as, where do bears defecate? And I can say it's not in Vatican City. It is in the woods. So glad to clear that up for everybody right now. The Pope defecates in a gold toilet in Vatican City.
I'm sorry, we've got to stop this.
Really. Right, Paul, thank you, because it's becoming blasphemous. A, how do you know where the Pope defecates?
Well, he's my dad.
Yeah. How are you going to judge that?
Well, like Lucy, I'm a lapsed Catholic, so really you can say what you like, but I would say to those listening, we probably need some right royal redress, and that's going to come in the form of 8 seconds and you. You've got 8 seconds to restore the papacy. And your time starts now, Paul.
Yes, the Pope indeed. I remember once I went up to the Pope and I said, is it true that you are actually have got a daughter who...
We'll never know. Some things are not meant to be answered. Paul, you get the point for speaking as the whistle went. And Lucy, we're back with you. We've gone from the sublime to the ridiculous. The subject is Oasis tickets. Without hesitating, repeating or deviating, Oasis tickets, please. 60 seconds starting now.
I spent 5 hours awaiting Oasis tickets, not because I enjoy the band, but because I'm British and I love to queue. If it were up to me, I would buy all 90,000 seats at Wembley Arena and just turn up on my own to confuse them. If I want to see a set of brothers with weird hair not getting on, I'll just go round to the Miliband's house. That would be a lot more fun. Oasis, to me, are like the Beatles if they weren't as good. They have songs called Champagne Supernova. One of them is called Noel and the other one looks like an oaf.
Oh, Zoe.
I'm going to be excommunicated and I can never go to Manchester again.
Zoe, you challenged.
Well, Lucy has indeed offended every Oasis fan out there, but there was a little bit of hesitation as well. Yeah.
I was thinking about my future.
Yeah.
You've got 12 seconds, Zoe, on Oasis tickets starting now.
Oasis tickets are, of course, rare as hen's teeth, but those people that did get those tickets will be in arenas with a load of middle-aged blokes with balding poppy hairdos and anoraks flapping in the wind.
Right, the end of that round, let's have a look at some scores. We've got Stephen slightly trailing in fourth. In third position, we've got Zoe. Then we've got Paul. And still out marginally ahead, Lucy Porter. Stephen, we're next with you. You can let your imagination run riot with this one. Not what I imagined. Can you speak for 1 minute on the subject? Not what I imagined. Your time starts now.
Not what I imagined were the first words my wife said to me on our wedding night. Not talking about what you're thinking. She meant the hotel room, because it was, in fact, a tent. I had bought some sick ticker on my... So stressful.
Just doesn't ever get any easier either. It's just relentless. Paul?
Yes, it was a bit of a collapse. Hesitation.
Yes, although you did paint a scene there that I'm quite keen to return to, if I'm honest. In fact, I have to. Paul, do you mind?
Yes.
You get the point for the correct challenge, but I sort of need to know where this is going.
Yes, so do I. Yeah.
We're in a tent. It's possibly substandard. It's certainly not what she imagined, but we'll begin again with 42 seconds, Stephen. Your time starts now.
In fact, it was a yurt that I had found secondhand on a site on the internet. Bought it thinking this will be a pleasant start to our married life. How wrong I was. Apparently, you're not supposed to try something new on your wedding night. You're supposed to... Oh, what?
I'm not sure.
I mean, I don't need anyone else here, do I? I could just do this on my own.
Paul,
sudden moment of self-awareness. But I still want... I think you should keep the subject, if possible. I like watching people sweat.
I mean,
every time he speaks is a joy. We get more and more interesting. It was a tent, now it's a yurt.
I mean, it's actually upgraded.
Yeah.
I mean, it's sounding now quite good. I don't know what the problem is. I mean, you know, a wedding night in a yurt, what can possibly go wrong? We'll find out in 23 seconds, starting now.
I had pitched the yurt on the back of a cargo train. Oh, yurt, yeah. I see now.
Zoe.
Well, there's two yurts. That's technically a glamping situation now.
Also, why have you pitched two yurts on your wedding night, Stephen? What were you anticipating?
50 years of yurt.
I'm sorry, but I love a pun, and that's getting a point, and I don't care. Don't care. 18 seconds, Zoe. The subject is with you. Not what I imagined, starting now.
I've spent a night in a yurt once, and it was not what I imagined. It has sort of walls, which is not what you expect from a tent-like situation. It was more...
Is there not enough oxygen in this room? Stephen, you buzzed.
Are you allowed to start singing in the middle of that? Yeah. It was a very long moor. Is that hesitation?
It was a very big... It was not on a moor. It was in Yorkshire. It was a very, very big moor.
Are you from Yorkshire?
Am I from Yorkshire? Yeah. I can be if it gets... I can be whatever you want me to be.
Now we're really cooking. I think you're not from Yorkshire, so if you're going to pretend to be from Yorkshire, that's appropriation. You don't want that on your score sheet, so I'm going to give that back, if only to have 7 seconds of just some final explainers from Stephen as to what on earth was going on his wedding night, starting now.
So we were lying down in our canvas home on the Alaskan Railroad, heading towards the Rockies in Canada, where we were to be...
Right, it's now the final round. Thank you for that entirely elicited response. Right, this one is for you, Paul. Oh. And it's a catchphrase made famous by the wonderful Hugh Grant in the film Notting Hill. Whoopsie Daisy. So let's hear what you've got to say on Whoopsie Daisy. In 60 seconds, starting now.
I didn't realise it was a famous catchphrase used by Hugh Grant, but now I do know. Whoopsie Daisy seems to be a very English, British term, perhaps, which suggests something has gone wrong. Whoops-a-daisy, we say, as the house that we've lovingly built has fallen down and we have to move into a yurt with Stephen and his wife. Whoops-a-daisy was the thing I was thinking to myself as I burst out of the wardrobe to find that couple on their honeymoon in the aforementioned tent which I've just described. Whoopsie-daisy is one of those things where you go to see a flower in a meadow and you accidentally trip over it and you say whoops-a-daisy as you pick up that particular green thing and you see it in your eye and you say, isn't nature wonderful? Whoops-a-daisy. I remember saying to my wife, Suki, one day as we walked down the country...
Oh, Lucy...
I think he was saying something to himself and then he was saying something to his wife, Sue.
Oh.
Yes, it was very close together. So, yes, a repetition.
It's all true.
But beautifully handled. You were speaking for 46 seconds there. And so you get 14 remaining, Lucy, to tell us everything you've got on Whoopsie Daisy. And your time starts now.
Whoopsie Daisy might be a polite name for a cowpat. And if you slipped over in one, you would say, Whoopsie Daisy, I'm covered in poop. I have never said whoopsie daisy in my life because it's twee.
You've just said it twice. She said, I've never said it in my life. She's like, what would your dad say about that? Lying in front of the British public.
Do you know what?
I tell you what, I don't know, it's a silly challenge. Don't
I liked it. I'm going to give you 1 second to redeem yourself in the eyes of the British public, in the eyes of the Catholic Church, in the eyes of your father, all right?
Yeah.
It's a big ask. You've got a second. Let's have it. Go.
Mea culpa!
Well, that's all we have time for. Let's have a look at those all-important final scores. In fourth place, we've got Stephen, but we'll always have those yurt memories. Yeah. In third place, he goes home to his wife, who's going to say, why the hell did you tell everyone that? Third place, Zoe. In second place, we've got Lucy, and just nudging it, Mr. Paul Merton! And there, my lovelies, I'm afraid we've got to leave you. But first of all, thank you so much to our incredible players of the game, Zoe Lyon, Stephen Mangan, Paul Merton and Lucy Porter. We are, of course, always indebted to both Ian Messiter and Nicholas Parsons. And I'm also going to thank Sarah Nichols for blowing her whistle so delicately in my ear. The producer was Georgia Keating, and it was a BBC Studios audio production for Radio 4. And this is me, Sue Perkins, signing off and saying thanks ever so for listening, wherever you are in the world. And do join us again next time we play Just a Minute. Thank you.